I'm excited to be in church because, like, Christmas Day isn't just a nice event. It's not just this, you know, nice day that we spend with family, but it's all about Jesus. And so I'm really excited and passionate to talk about Jesus today because that's what it's all about. And so, yeah, awesome. Now, something that does happen on Christmas, and I just wanted to share a few, is there's a lot of corny and bad jokes, isn't there? You get the bonbons and you open up, you have the bad jokes, and last night at the Whalen family, we had our Christmas party, and there was lots of bad jokes from the bonbons, and I'd like to share some with you. So why did the scientist install a knocker on his door? He wanted to win the Nobel Prize. Oh, that's good. What has a pelican got in common with the water company? They both have large bills. Why was 6 scared of 7? Does anyone know that one? 7, 8, 9. And why did the boy take his piggy bank outside? He heard that there was going to be some change in the weather. Why can't you play cards in the jungle? There are too many cheetahs there. And the Whalens. Which fish go to heaven when they die? Well, of course, it's the angel fish. So there you go. There's some corny jokes. I've got them out of the way. I just thought it would be appropriate to share them. But now it's time to get serious and read the Word of God. All right? It's not funny. So if you like, can you open up with Matthew chapter 1? This is the birth of Jesus. This is the story. This is where it all comes from. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You know, the worst gift that I've ever received on Christmas is from my mum and my stepdad at the time. And the reason I'm wearing this shirt is just because I got it off mum and dad. And I really wanted to honor her if I was going to share this story about the worst Christmas present she ever gave me. She got me a CD player. And that was a good part. That was great. I loved the CD player. However, the CD she bought for me that came with the CD player was a Spice Girls CD. Spice Girls. And so I'd be in my room, "Stop right there, thank you very much, I need somebody with a human touch." Sorry, I don't know. I'd be in my, not really. I'd be in my, no, I wouldn't. In fact, I had a lot of cassettes, so honestly, I did listen to my cassettes, and that's what I listened. I couldn't listen to the CD because Mitchell kept stealing it and listening to it in his room. That was the worst present I ever got, a Spice Girls CD. But the best present I ever got was when Mum and Dad took us overseas to America. I can't remember the exact amount, but on Christmas Day, we all got a card. I think it may have been $900 cash, just $100 notes in the card. 9 of them, $900. That's your spending money for our trip to America, and that was awesome. That was probably the best Christmas present I've ever received, and that was awesome. But do you know what? The best Christmas present, the best gift that anyone could ever receive is the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that is the greatest gift that anybody could receive, that anybody could get. It's not some iPod touch. It's not some iPad, iPhone. It's not a pony, a new bike, a new watch. It's not anything like that. It's not $900 cash. It's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, when you accept him, he can change your eternity for the better. And he can be in your present to help you every single day. And so I want to talk about Emmanuel, God with us. The best present ever that anyone could ever receive in their life. Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1, like I just shared, it talks about the story how Jesus with us. And you know, it wasn't just for those people that, you know, lived in the days of Jesus. That, you know, God, Emmanuel with us, it's not like, okay, he's just going to be with the disciples and that group of people, and that's the only people that are going to experience the whole Emmanuel thing. It actually went on there, and Jesus said in Matthew 28 to 20, you all know this one, it's the Great Commission. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of age. This gift that God had given people wasn't just Jesus for the 30 years or around about that he was alive on earth. The gift of Jesus is for every day throughout eternity. And that's what Jesus said. And I love that. He's with us every day. I love how the Message Bible puts it. Jesus says, I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of age. I want to say to you that God wants to be with you day after day after day after day after day. He wants to be with you every moment of your life to help you and encourage you. He wants to be with you because he loves you so much. That's the truth. That's the word. That's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus is all about. And you know, the way that that is lived out is through the Holy Spirit in us. Obviously, Jesus went to heaven and he said, you know, I'm going there, but I'm going to send you someone else, the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be him that lives in you. And that's in John 16:7. Jesus said, but very truly, I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. And that's what it means to have God with us day after day after day. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us empowering you. And I love what it says in Hebrews 13 verse 5. It says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I want to say to you, no circumstance will dictate the presence of God in your life. No person and what they say over your life is going to dictate the presence of God in your life. Nothing that you say or believe in your own heart is going to dictate that. But the Word of God says that never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. He's never going to give up on you. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you behind. You know when you're following someone in a car and you're dry, you don't know where to go. Unless you're like me, I know where I'm going, I just don't know how to get there. And so I still need to follow people. But you know when you get to the traffic lights, you're like, oh no, they got the green, I hope I don't get the orange. Oh, I got the orange. And you're just hoping, they drove off, they didn't see that I got the orange. And of course we stop when we get the orange, we don't try and speed up and go through the orange, because that would be wrong. And so God's not like that. He's not just going to run off on you. He's not going to leave you behind. He actually wants to be with you day after day after day after day. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So I've got a few thoughts on why God is with us, why we have Emmanuel. And the first one is this, to help us fulfill our purpose in life. We all have a purpose in life. We all, every single one of us in this room has a purpose. We have a plan that's written out by God. It's an adventure. It's a love story. It's a comedy. There's a bit of horror every now and then. It's a thriller. It's got a bit of everything in it, but God's written out something for everybody. We all have a plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But I want to say, we can't live that plan of God without him. We can't do it on our own. There is no chance that we can accomplish everything that God has written out for us to do, that he's planned and prepared for us to do. There is no chance of us accomplishing that on our own because we can't do it. I remember as a young boy, I'm not sure if you guys experienced this, but when I was little, like mid-primary school, and Dad was driving, he'd stop and he'd let me sit on his lap. And I'd get to take the control of the steering wheel, and like I couldn't reach the pedal, so they would just dangle there. I'm like, this is easy, what's the problem? And so I'd just do that, but I couldn't do it on my own back then. I needed the help of my dad, you know, to control the pedals and to use the brake appropriately, change the gears and stuff like that. And I want to say that we can't achieve the purpose of God that He has for us on our own. We can't do it. We can't reach the pedals. And that's why He embraces us and He has us in His arms and He wants to be with us day after day after day after day so that we can achieve and accomplish that awesome plan of God that is in our lives. Yeah. You know, God loves us so much that He gives us a plan that's bigger than our souls. He loves us so much that He's like, you know what, you're awesome. So I'm going to give you something that you can't do because you're so awesome. And so, you know, it's funny because when, you're spending time with God and you have this thought, you're like, oh, wow, I'd love to be a fireman. You know, just for example, because all little boys say that. And you're like, oh, hang on, no, I can't do that. That's not for me. I'm definitely not cut out to be a fireman. That's definitely not, you know what I'm saying? We spend time with God and we have this dream or this passion rise up within us and then all of a sudden we just cut it down. Oh no, that is definitely not me. I cannot do that. But you know what? I don't think we're spending, like the next moment is really important because that's when God wants to say something really important to you. And I want to share something to you from three different people in the Bible. And the first is Moses, and that's from Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. So this is Moses. We all know Moses. He built the ark, right? But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" So God had just told him, "Hey you, I'm choosing you to bring the Israelites out from Egypt, out from the slavery that you guys are in under the command of Pharaoh. I'm choosing you. There is your plan." And right there, he's like, wow, that's awesome. I'd love... No, I can't do that. That's definitely not me. I'm definitely not cut out for that. But then God goes on to say, and this is really important, and God said, "I will be with you. I will be with you." He gives you the plan, then He gives you the promise. Again, in Joshua chapter 1, this is really cool as well. Joshua chapter 1. And so what happened? Moses had died and Joshua was the next person to actually lead the Israelites into the promised land. And it says here, start from verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. There's the plan. I'm giving you this awesome plan. Wow, God, that's amazing. I'd love... Oh, hang on, I don't know if I can do that. I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, here it is, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." So God gives the purpose. He puts the dream in their heart. He might put a dream in your heart. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's to be a CEO of a major company. Now that's a big thing, and I don't know, I don't think we have many of them in our church, if any at all. But maybe that's a dream in your heart. Maybe that's a little seed that God's planted in there and you thought, "I can't do that. That's a huge deal. There's no way I can do that." But God's saying, "Hey, you can do that because I am with you. I am with you day after day after day, and I want to help you achieve that awesome goal." Another one quickly, which is actually about us. And this is from Matthew 28:20, and I read this earlier, and it's a great commission. And He's talking to us. He gives us the purpose. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, here it is, I am with you always to the very end of age." God gives you a plan. He gives you a purpose, but that's not it because you can't do it on your own. He gives you the plan, and then He gives you the promise that He's with you because you can't do it on your own. You're not good enough. You can't do it. I know I think about myself and the vision that Liz and I have to plant and pastor a church somewhere, and I just think, man, that's huge. I can't do that. And I know I can't do that, but I know with God that we can do it. I know with God we can do it. We can do this. We can lead a city to Jesus and see an awesome church somewhere. And I absolutely believe that because I know God is going to be with us when we do that. So I would encourage you that we have Emmanuel, God with us, so that we can fulfill the plan and purpose that God has in our life. The second one, so that we can see through a challenge. Now, life is full of challenges. We all go through them. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him." There it is again, through Him who loved us. We go through challenges, but through Him, that's God, we can see through the challenge. They're a part of everyday life. I remember in year 7, it was like, you know, the camp you go on at school, you go for your year 7 camp or whatever. And the last night, I don't know if many other people did it, but you normally have like this formal night on the last night of the camp and you sort of dress nice and whatever. But I had a really bad migraine, had a big headache that night, and so I sat outside. And what happens, there was another girl there and she was feeling sick and she sat outside as well. And we got talking, and it was a good talk, and we got to know each other a little bit, and I got to like her, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask her out. And so when we got back to school, I asked her out, and she said no, but asked out my best friend, and he said yes. And so we go through challenges and things that can happen in our lives that are really, really bad and can make us feel very horrible. But I want to say to you, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. At least I'm honest, I can admit that. I don't know. Obviously, God was not with her. Yeah, that was a good one. You know, Jesus promised us that we'd have trouble in this world. He's like, you know what, I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm not going to be fake and just hollow about the whole thing. You're actually going to have trouble in this world. And he said that in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You're going to go through challenges. You're going to go through trials. You're going to be frustrated with things. Things are going to go wrong in your life. You're going to fail. You're going to trip up. You're going to mess up. You're going to stuff up. People will hurt you. You're going to hurt other people. You're going to run out of money. You might lose your job. I did once. You will have bad days. Your car will break down. Mine did that as well many times over. This sort of stuff just happens, and you can count on it. I love how it says it in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Be of good cheer. Be confident, certain, undaunted." This stuff's going to happen. Just be ready. Be prepared. Expect some stuff to go on. But you know what? I've got God with me, and God's overcome this world. Anything in this world that's thrown at me, it doesn't matter, because God's in me and He's overcome the world. And day after day after day, I've got God inside of me, alongside of me, with me, in front of me, behind me. And He's going to help me see through any challenge in my life, because no, in all these things, through Him, we are more than conquerors. And I want to say, God, Emmanuel came to be with us so that we could see through challenges and not live a life of defeat and just messing up and not accomplishing anything in life, because God wants you to see things through. I spoke about Joshua earlier, and it hit me the other day. I was listening to a podcast, and Joshua, who led the Israelites into the Promised Land. Well, did you know? You probably do. I didn't. There was 31 kings that stood between Joshua and the Promised Land. So that meant he had to fight 31 battles, you know, life and death situations before him and the Israelites entered the Promised Land. But do you know what? It actually says in there, each one he defeated. It's like one after the other. Every challenge that was in his way, he defeated all 31 of them until him and the Israelites entered the Promised Land. And I want to say to you, there might be 31, there might be 301 challenges in your life, but God wants to lead you through every single one of them so that you are victorious, so that you are more than a conqueror through Him. Through Him, not through yourself. You can't do it on yourself. You might win some little battles, but there's going to be bigger ones that are going to try and take you on. But with God, who overcomes the world, He is with you and He will get you through them. So why do we have Emmanuel? So that He can help us through the challenges. Awesome. My last one is this. Jesus came. God came to be with us to complete us. This is awesome. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, "And you are complete in Him." It's pretty simple, isn't it? You are complete in Him. God not only came to help you fulfill the plan and purpose in your life, He not only came to help you see through the challenges that come up in your life, but He came to complete you. The definition of complete in my advanced English dictionary on my iPhone 3GS says, bring to a whole with all the necessary parts or elements. And so God wants to bring you to a whole. He wants you to be complete, brought to a whole, no missing part, no missing element in your life. And that's what Jesus does. That's why we have Emmanuel, God with us, so that He completes us. Because it says in Colossians 2 verse 10, you are complete in Him. Yeah. I had this awesome revelation yesterday that from Ecclesiastes 3:11. And it says, He has set eternity in the human heart. We have eternity in the human heart. And did you know that the only thing that can fill eternity is eternity? There's no worldly thing in this world, there's no material possession, no person, nothing in this world that can fill that place in your heart, because nothing else is eternal. But let me tell you what is eternal. And it says it in Revelation 22 verse 13. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He is eternity. And that eternity that God has placed in your heart, that space that is big as eternity, only Jesus, who is the beginning and the end, can fill that place in your heart. There is nothing else that can fill it except for Jesus. Are you ready for the wow statement? You've all got to say wow after I say this, all right? Yep. Worldly things might fill a space, but only eternity can fill eternity. Wow. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? And write that one down. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, this is just before that you are complete in Him. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. You know, it might not be philosophy, but I believe there's other things that can take us captive in this world and deceive us into thinking that they're going to make us complete. They're going to make us happy. They're going to fulfill us. I'm a bit of a watch person. I like watches, and I got this watch this year. It's a Seiko Kinetic Diver's watch, 200 meters water resistant. Now, every time I walk past a jewelry store, and Liz would absolutely hate this, I would slow down and look at almost every single watch in the shop, because I love watches, and I'll look at them, and Liz is like, hurry up, I'm sick of this. You've seen this, they're the same watches as last week. They haven't changed the stock. There may be a new one, that's right, and I'm looking for that new one. But I had my eye on this one particular watch. It was similar to this for a long time, and then I found this one. I was like, wow, that's awesome, and I loved it. And so this year I had the opportunity to get it, and I was like, this watch is going to complete me. I will never ever want another watch in my life, because this one is going to make me happy. It's going to be that missing element in my life, and it's just going to fill me up and make me whole. And you know what? It's a great watch. I love it, and I really do. I might get another one at another time, but I love this watch. But do you know what happens, like particularly with sin? It makes you feel like you get something. It's that if you get this, it's going to make you happy. It's going to make you content. If you got $100, that's going to make you content. And then when you get that $100, you're like, wow, oh, what if I had $1,000? And so all of a sudden, it just keeps going. It keeps building. And that's what sin does. And it's like, now I'm like, well, you know, I'd like to have two watches. Because when I look at this one every day, I'd like to, you know, have a bit of difference, you know, like a bit of variety. So if I get another watch, when I'm not, you know, over this watch, I can wear another watch and be happy with that. But then if I get another watch, I'll be like, well, there's 7 days in the week and I really need a watch for every day of the week. And so maybe I should get, you know what I'm saying? And this is what sin does in our life. It deceives us into thinking that this item, this object, this material thing, this worldly thing is going to make you content. It's going to make you happy. It's going to fill you up and you'll never want anything else again. But of course, anything in this world is not even compared to the size of eternity. It's not going to fill that space in your heart. It might fill a little bit of space, but it's not going to fill the whole thing. And sin's going to jump up and say, you know what? You need that. Maybe that wasn't it, but this is it. And that's what sin does. It deceives you into thinking that you need something else. But I want to say Jesus Christ fills the gap in your life. Jesus Christ fills that eternal space in your heart. Another word for complete is happy. If you want true happiness, you need to fill your life with Jesus. Never again, like, you'll long for, like, little things, but you won't, you'll have Jesus. You'll be complete. I'm not sure how to express that, but a lot of you know what I'm saying. You have Jesus in, you're complete, you're whole. That's it. Jesus completes us. We have Emmanuel because he completes us. No money, power, significance, stature, a family, a job, being married, nothing like that will complete you. It'll fill a space in your life, but it won't actually complete you and make you whole and fill those missing elements in your life. I want to finish by saying this, and the band can come up. God has wanted to be with us from the very beginning of time. He has always wanted to be with us. He loved us, and he created people to be with people. And in the Garden of Eden, when he created Adam and Eve, he just walked around with them. He hung out with them. He was there with them. But do you know what? It wasn't God that separated himself from the people. It was sin that came and deceived them. And as soon as they had sin in their life, they hid from God. They went into the bushes like, oh no, God's there, let's hide. You might know what we've done. And God says, where are you? Where are you? Adam, Eve, where are you? And like, this is God. He knows where they are. He's not stupid. He's written written a book from the first till the end. He knows what they're doing. But you know why he said that? He wanted them to identify the sin in their life. He wanted them to identify what was standing before them that had separated them from him. And he wanted them to come out into the open. And so I want to give an invitation today that maybe you haven't received the gift of Jesus, the best gift ever, the person that's going to make you complete, make you happy. He's going to help you fulfill the plan that God has for your life, and he's going to help you see through every challenge. Maybe you haven't received Jesus, and I want to give you an opportunity to say, God, here I am. I've been hiding behind this sin, and it's enough. I want to come out, and I want to know you, God. I want you to be my Emmanuel, God with me, day after day after day. So let's just pray, everyone, eyes closed, head bowed. God, I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to come and die for our sins, Lord, so that you could be with us, so that you could be with us day after day after day. And God, we are just so grateful and so thankful, God, for what you did, for giving your son to us, Lord. And we just honor you. We love you, God, and just thank you for what that means in our lives, God, that with you, we can fulfill the potential in our lives and live the purpose that God has for us. God, with you, we can overcome and see through any challenge that steps in front of us, God, and with you, we are complete. God, I want to just give people an opportunity today. If you don't know Jesus, if you want to accept the awesome gift of Jesus Christ, who's going to make you complete and really make you happy, then I just ask you to raise your hand and say, yes, Ado, I'd like to accept Jesus into my life. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, and he wants to be with us. He wants to be our God. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, saying, hey, I'm speaking to you. You know it's me. Now's the time. Identify where you are. I've got sin in my life. It's time to give it up. It's time to come out in the open before God. And he's not going to judge you or condemn you for anything. He's going to love you and give you the best gift ever, which is Jesus Christ, which completes you. All right, cool. Mighty God, I just give you praise and thank you again for Jesus Christ, your son that came to die for us so that we could live a great life, God. And we're just so in awe of Jesus, the King. And this Christmas, we just want to adore the King. Just like the three wise men came and worshiped the King, we just want to worship the King. Come and adore the King. And just focus on Jesus this Christmas and make you number one. And just remember that Jesus, you are Emmanuel, God with us, and you help us, and we love you, and I just commit this day and this holidays, God, to you, this Christmas time, and I pray for protection over these people, Lord, and that we would have a great Christmas, Lord, but we'd never forget that you are God with us, Lord. You are Emmanuel in us, day after day after day. Amen.